welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who only cares about nugs, chillin', and grindage. It's Jake Lutt.
Hey, buddy.
Yes. Listen, man.
I'm not entirely sure what all of those things you said are. I'll be honest.
Listen, man.
I've got an idea, but I'm not sure. Across the internet, various options of what nugs could actually mean.
Listen, if you're edged because I'm wheezing all your grindage, just chill. Because if I had the whole Brady Bunch thing happen on my pad, I'd go grind over there. So don't tax my gig so hardcore, Cruster.
You gotta make up your melons. Come on.
So, all right, grindage is food.
Yes, and chilling is just chilling out, relaxing.
Yeah, and then Cruster is just kind of like, you know, a negative. It's like don't be a dork or a jerk, right?
Yeah.
But nugs can mean a lot of things. Because there's a caveman nug, Betty Nugs, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the Nugs Fully Loose when he's talking about that woman. No, wait. Just when he's talking about walking, he says the Nugs Fully Loose. So there's two different definitions of nugs right there.
See, I had assumed it was women.
Yeah.
Just throughout entirety, just women.
Because he does say nugs.
He does. This is based on the credits where you have, as you say, you have Cave Nug as a credit. various people are credited as Fresh Nug,
That's funny.
Sorry for them.
Oh, I didn't look in the credits.
Two women are credited as Mountain Nug.
I think that really captures their spirits and doesn't objectify them at all.
Yes, I'm sure their parents are very proud.
Hey, let's stay for the credits, you know?
Yeah.
You know what, though? I would love to be, like, Dude Nug in one of these. I would love it.
I think I'm okay that I don't have a credit in this film.
I would love to be Henchman Nug.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You could be, a Flotsam or a Jetsam. Nug kind of thing.
So we had this conversation years ago where I said, hey, have you watched a Pauly Shore movie? You said you never watched a Pauly Shore movie.
My response was, what's a Pauly Shore?
what is that? Who is that? And then we did a podcast about Home Alone, which you should listen to because it's great. We talk about fists being filled with bricks, I think.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
And then we talked about it more, and so you finally decided. And for me, I didn't want to get you going immediately on a Son-in-Law or a In the Army Now or a Jury Duty or a Biodome, because those are Pauly Shore vehicles. I kind of wanted to introduce you to Encino Man, which is kind of like a movie featuring Pauly Shore. Does that make sense?
It does. But from what I've heard, this is the best film featuring him, certainly the highest rated one that made the most money. And that doesn't bode well for the rest of them, gotta say.
You know, with inflation, I accounted for inflation. This movie made $72.8 million in the States.
That's insane.
This all with inflation on a $14 million budget. So let's say
anything anywhere else.
No, just here. Yeah. And just here, let's say $6 million. So, I mean, it probably pulled in a $50 million profit, this movie.
Yeah. If you told me this film got made for 10 grand, I believe it.
Now, the thing is, all these Pauly Shore movies, if you look at the box office, they paid for themselves. So people think these movies are, you know, some people kind of think they're abominations, but I kind of love them. And they all, if you combine all of them with their budgets, with, you know, let's add in some for marketing, these movies made a profit.
Yeah. Not in the UK, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
because I don't think Pauly Shore is known anywhere outside of America.
Well,
at least not in my experience.
In the Army Now was nominated for a BAFTA.
What?
Yeah. Best performance, male, Pauly Shore. Oh, and Lori Petty got nominated for Best Supporting. Two BAFTA awards for this movie.
Okay, I take it back. It's just seems to be me that's never heard of them.
I thought it was crazy that My Left Foot beat it out.
Okay. that's a strong opinion to have, Mark.
Oh, that... I will not go public with that opinion, by the way. That will not reach print.
In the Army Now was up for BAFTAs.
Yeah. No, okay. It's a total lie.
Okay, fine. Good.
But there, all right,
you, You had me going for a minute.
Oh, I had you go. That's amazing. You were like, I'm going to watch it now. There is a moment, though, in the Army Now where they're scouting out this other base. So they join him and Andy Dick join the reserves because they want to open up a stereo shop. And he's going to they're targeted it, and he's going to shoot this rocket launcher at this base. And he's like, suck on this one time, and he shoots the rocket backwards. And it just flies and then blows up in the sand. That's a good bit right there.
Yeah, that's, I doubt that's the first time someone's fired a rocket backwards in a film, but it generally gets a laugh.
Oh, wait. All right, then
I like that happens in Tintin.
All right, so how about this? You and I got to do a podcast about shooting rockets backwards. Or just shooting rockets in general. Commando.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, see, Tintin is where my mind goes to in terms of firing a rocket backwards. Captain Haddock does that on the motorbike.
All right, I gotta watch that. I own that movie. I love that movie. I haven't watched it in a long time.
It's really underrated.
Why is it not more popular?
I think it's because of the whole Uncanny Valley thing.
Got it.
Because in my opinion, it's better than, it's one of the better Indiana Jones films. It just doesn't happen to have Indiana Jones in it. Like, it's better than Temple of Doom. It's better than Crystal Skull. But it's just because it's that animation style, and most people I come across just didn't bother to see it. They just figured, oh, Spielberg made a cartoon, I'll skip that.
It's a good yarn.
It's really fun.
I like adventures like that. I like movies with maps, or when they're hunting something, or when they're traveling around the world.
Yeah.
You see across the world, there's the dots, like Indiana Jones. Any movie that features that, like, I think Monty Python had that. Didn't they get attacked by a secret? Any movie with a map and traveling on it, I'll watch.
Yeah, me too. I'm there. I love that kind of thing. And I love, like, in The Muppets when they travel by map. That's the method.
It's another podcast, me and you.
We got a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, we're going to be busy. What are you doing in the next month?
I'm sure I'll find some time.
All right, so I did a lot of research on this movie, and I kind of wanted to get into it. You know, because if you're listening to this podcast, you've seen the movie. So people don't really quite need a play-by-play. So I just want to drop some interesting data on you before we get talking about the movie. So this isn't data, but it was Les Mayfield directed it. He also directed Miracle on 34th Street, Flubber, Blue Streak, American Outlaws, The Man with Sam Jackson and Eugene Levy, and then Codename The Cleaner. And the woman who wrote it, Sean Shepp, she also wrote Son-in-Law, and she wrote Drumline.
And she appeared in The Terminator.
That's right. So she has written three profitable movies. How do you feel about that?
I still don't like that you're calling this film good, or you're using profitable in a positive. It's like, this film is positive because it's profitable, because there's been a lot of terrible films that have made a lot of money.
All right, so I was looking at BuzzFeed, and they said it was 24 out of 24 of the classic 90s movies. So it placed last.
Okay.
You know that Jim Carrey and Nick Cage were considered for the link
role? Yeah, I can see Jim Carrey in it. Nick Cage, it would be a very different film.
Yeah, oh, it'd be awesome. It'd be
very different. I would watch that film. But it feels like it would be just another kind of step on the Jim Carrey ladder, where he would go a more comedic direction than Brendan Fraser takes. But I can see him doing it.
Do you know how many clips we would have now of that?
There'd probably be a sequel. there was a straight to TV sequel, but there'd be there'd be an Ace Ventura 2 version of this.
I mean, I'd watch it.
Yeah.
And there's a Goonies reunion in this movie. What'd you think about that?
I'm not the biggest Goonies fan.
Oh. Data and Mikey.
Data and Mikey both in it. This is the only film that's like a Goonies reunion, I think I read. No two actors from the Goonies that have ever appeared on screen anywhere other than in Encino Man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I'm racking my brain right now. When you were saying that, I just immediately went, all right, Brolin's got to be in there with somebody.
Apparently not. Not even Joey Pants or Robert Darby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Darby's been in everything.
And Joey Pants. They're both in...
Yeah. Oh, Joey Pants.
I can't believe those two haven't been in something together again. But no, apparently it's never happened.
Those two would be perfect together, Joey Pants. I feel like I've seen them in 8 movies together.
Right, but it's just the Goonies. They just work so well as brothers.
Wow.
We talked last time about doing a Home Alone remake. Joey Pants and Robert Darby as Harry and Muff.
They'd be perfect.
Yeah.
I could picture Joey Pants wearing the little ski cap that Joe Pesci wears.
Absolutely. And he could really do the kind of the Muttley.
He's born for that.
Yeah.
Man, geez Louise. Let's just talk about that.
But, I will always bring it back to Home Alone. Doesn't matter what we talk about, I will bring it back to Home Alone. It'll happen at least twice more today.
I love our theory, though, about her fists were filled with something. Her fists hit harder than bricks. Or her fists... What was it? A bag of bricks?
It was the paint cans. The paint cans.
Oh, the paint can was filled with that woman's fists.
Yes, because the paint cans were harder than the fists, but the fists were harder than brick, I think it was. Yeah, because the paint cans can take out teeth.
All right, so this will make you happy. This movie won a Razzie Award for Best New Star for Pauly Shore.
Good. Okay.
Very good. However, this movie, Rotten Tomatoes, they just released a thing, Rotten Movies We Love, and Son-in-Law and Encino Man were featured on that list. So Rotten Tomatoes.
What score does Encino Man have?
15.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that.
Let me tell you something. I agree with the 15%. I'm not arguing that. And I do think that Sean Astin's character is a big turd. I like him as an actor, but he's very entitled. He hounds after this poor woman, and she somehow likes him at the end. I'm like, no.
Well, I'm not a big fan of Robin either. I think they're perfect for each other at the end of this. Their relationship is not going to last. It's not going to last the night. but he's just pining. I think if you asked him, he'd say Dave was in the friend zone, but he's not even that. He's in the not even thought about zone. He's in the once shared a bathtub when they were babies zone and haven't really spoken to each other since.
And he keeps showing that picture.
He keeps showing that picture, which this guy has no game. He has no idea what he's doing. But she is just leading him on the entire way. Like he'll smile at her and she'll smile back, but she's got no interest.
Yeah, none
at all. So she's leading him on. He's eager to be led on. They're perfect for each other, and I don't like either of them.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. Wow.
If anything, like for me the high point of the film is her previous boyfriend Matt. He's a complete twat. I agree. Like there's nothing good about him, but his performance and his character were the most fun things to watch in the entire film.
I mean, he's one of the guys that's in the epic scene in Wayne's World where they're singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the car.
No way.
Yep, he's one of those guys.
Oh my god.
I wrote down some of these lines. So the boyfriend when he walks up to her, the guy's name is Matt Wilson. So he walks up to Sean Astin and he goes, "Some of us pump, some of us slump. You should try to pump."
Yeah, I wrote that down too.
And then the best line. Oh, sorry if I took that from you. But did you write down his other one that I loved?
But his delivery of the word "shush" is wonderful.
Shush.
Shush.
I mean, that's a performance. He, of all the unlikable boyfriends I've ever seen, I like him the most.
Or even when they're just sat in the class. And like, Dave smiles at Robin. Robin smiles back. He just kind of pushes into frame, shakes his head no. He's like, he's aware of where the camera is.
And he's also pretty smart too. Because remember when they ask him a question, he goes glacier. Well, he knows. Yeah. He listens in class. Their teacher is very engaging. I want to say in the beginning when he's talking about Cro-Magnon Man, he's very. He does a good job. This teacher.
Oh yeah, well, it's Richter Common from like Groundhog Day.
Yep.
And a million other things.
But he does a good job.
Yeah, I really like that guy.
So not only does he, you know, he says, you know, good lines, but then he looks at the camera and then he also says he knows answers to questions. He participates in class.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you."
Well, it's just if he just wasn't such of a kind of he's a bully is the problem. Like, if he wasn't a bully, he'd be the hero of the film. He'd just be like the most popular guy in school, justifiably. But he has to kind of take it too far and bully Dave whenever he has the opportunity.
I mean, the thing is though, Dave is always being squirrely around his girlfriend. Now she's not a threat at all, so he could just leave it alone. But Dave, remember Dave makes that comment to him too before he hangs him up on the wall. He's like, "Oh, your mom." So Dave. You know, when they staple him to a wall, he didn't exactly help himself in that situation.
No, I don't want to say bullying's a good thing, but I think Dave gets pretty much what he deserves for most of the film, right up until the end.
We do not condone.
No, we do not bullying, condone bullying.
But he didn't help himself. He wasn't. Yeah, passive.
Help yourself not be bullied, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
Speaking from somebody who was bullied a lot at school, you can do things to stop that happening.
I do love that line too, when the boyfriend walks up to Link and goes, "I don't know you. I don't like you. As of now, I'm all over you.
All over you."
This guy's awesome in this movie, man.
Yeah, he is the best character.
Some of us like to pump. Some of us like to What a great. Oh no, and then Sean Astin goes, "Eat me," or something like that.
That sounds about right. That sounds like the terrible comeback he'd come back with.
Now, I do want to tell you that I find something very impressive about Weasel and Dave. And it's the fact that how I think that ice cube with a human being inside easily weighs 1,000 pounds. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
So they build a rig, like a winch.
Yeah, very quickly.
Out of a swing set. And the two teenagers have enough engineering know-how to take a 1,000-pound ice cube out of a 8-foot hole via a swing set, then move it 20 feet up onto sawhorses. I mean, they showed some engineering skills to do this.
They should be doing better in school.
Yeah.
I agree.
But that's impressive, though, right? If you and I, let's say you and I are hanging out and we find a 1,000-pound ice cube in our backyard and we're teenagers, I don't think I could. I wouldn't be able to get it out.
No, I think not a chance. Not without, like, it'd take a few days. You have to like dig a channel around it underneath it to get a rope around.
Yep.
Or several probably. And yeah, you'd need like specialist equipment, not a swing set. I find it implausible. But the fact that they managed to do it, just these guys are geniuses.
I mean, they are engineering. Do you think they're kind of... Well, if you think about it, Weasel, right? He doesn't like to go home because his mom is super bummed. He's never home. He doesn't like to go home because he has a really bad home situation. So this is a guy who probably has never been pushed with an education. He probably... And he also adopts, you know, Nugs, Grindage, and Chilling as a way to cope with the stresses that he has at his home. But he's still, in his heart, a good person. So here's a guy, Weasel, who has a horrible home life, but still manages to stay positive, be a good influence in people's lives, and he might be an engineering savant.
Yeah, he's a savant, yeah. yeah, he's... Again, it's kind of implausible, just as a character. When you then combine that with every other element of his character, like his fashion sense and his dialect. He is just a mishmash of many different facets. He's a complex character, Stoney.
I believe that it's all a coping. So it's a coping mechanism. He acts out because of the attention he doesn't get at his home.
Yeah, he just wants to have that Brady Bunch life that Dave has.
And then, you know, but
so all he desires.
So, and he's kind of made up his own language because he probably spent, he doesn't have brothers or sisters. So he probably spent a lot of time in a bad family situation and he developed his own kind of language in his head.
That makes a lot of sense. And like the way that Dave kind of wins him around is money. Is that so he can like move out of his potentially horrendous home life and just kind of branch out on his own. He can get his own place. He can.
Does this change your thoughts about Weasel at all?
I still don't like him, I'll be honest. I listened to quite a few podcasts today on Encino Man, just to kind of gauge popular opinion on it. And a lot of people really love this film and really love him as a character. But just watching it, I didn't know what I was watching for the most part. Like, because bear in mind, this is not just my first Pauly Shore film, but my first ever seeing of an image of Pauly Shore was turning on Encino Man. Which, if I call it California Man, I'm sorry, that's what it's called in the UK.
Yeah.
I'll try not to. But so just the character he's got here, as I understand it, that's something of a personality he's put on in like outside of this film, that just kind of like, the Weasel persona.
Yeah, he was on MTV, and he would do all the spring break shows and be really like that, and people loved it.
And so they just basically cast that character in this film.
Yeah, and he improv most of everything because they didn't have his character. So he just came up with most of his own dialogue.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I can. I buy that.
Yeah, I do like he is very in touch he knows who he is. I kind of like that about him. And I just compared to Dave, who's just such a turd. Like, Dave is staring at him, and then Pauly Shore just looks at him and goes, "She finds you crusty, Dave." Like, he calls him out. He knows, like, Weasel knows that. And he's like, high school is interesting, but we're going on to bigger and better things. And he just, he kind of knows what's up.
It makes you wonder why Stoney hangs out with Dave. Like, Dave doesn't have any friends, it seems, other than Stoney. And Stoney is, he's a very chill guy. I feel like he could hang out with pretty much anybody he wants, other than maybe the top tier of the popular kids. Like, he could have his pick of everybody else, because everyone just seems to get along with him or not really mind him. And yet he's picked Dave. It's like he's like a kind of a guardian angel character who has picked this lost soul that he can... He'll do what he can to improve his life and then move on to the next person, the next... Cause it's just looking at him, I feel like he's been held back a few years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pauly Shore, slightly older than the rest of the cast, or slightly older than the character he's playing, at least.
He was 24, just, I think, 25 when he did this.
Yeah, that's what he looks. And so maybe he just is purposely being held back each year. He picks a new student each time.
Wow.
And just this year it's Dave. Dave gets... Stoney's help to try and improve his life.
He's like Rowan Atkinson from Love Actually.
Exactly. I was thinking more Jiminy Cricket, but fine. Rowan Atkinson is.
I love this idea, man. This is great. Did you just think about this, or did you just cross your mind earlier?
No, this is just top of my head.
Oh my gosh, man.
But I feel like he still needs a day off now and then, because Dave's a bit much. So when Stoney and Link go and have that afternoon in the theme park on the roller coaster and the shop at the store, that's like his you know, Mary Poppins has every other Tuesday off kind of thing, and Stoney has every other Thursday afternoon off or something.
And you know how angry Dave is at them for, like, Stoney and Link would be perfectly fine by themselves.
Absolutely. Dave is the problem of this film. If you take Dave out of the story, granted, Link wouldn't have been found, because Stoney's not going to dig that particular swimming pool.
He's just going to munch. Light.
It's just a mud hole.
Yeah.
Just a mud hole in his garden.
That's going to be good for one night.
If that, yeah. And I just think if my dad saw me go out into this garden and dig a hole, just dig a massive hole in the garden, never hit it. I wasn't allowed to walk on the grass in my parents' garden. Let alone dig something 10 foot deep, 15 foot, just stupid.
Especially in this very affluent neighborhood that they live in. Very, this isn't, like, this is white collar neighborhood. Very nice homes.
Yeah, I can't believe somebody else doesn't have a pool.
Yeah.
Like when Dave somehow convinces everybody to come back to his place and say, come to my pool, when they arrived, they'd look at it and thinking, this is just a big hole in the ground. Let's go round to Jeff's house. He actually has a proper pool with a diving board and everything. Let's go over there now. He's got a keg. Dave's got this just mud hole and some lanterns strung over it.
And, I mean, that water would sink quickly.
Yeah. Especially in Earthquake County, as they appear to be.
Jeez Louise. Now, your theories are amazing on this movie. Oh, can I ask you, can I get your theory on this?
Yeah.
So, they find Link... And, oh, actually, they find a Mysterium Bowl, which I like. And actually, Stoney knows what that is because he loves Jeopardy, which is amazing.
Yeah.
They should have done a clip with him on Jeopardy, like on White Men Can't Jump. But
it's beginning with Q.
And then so I like when Dave is like, we can't tell anybody. And then Stoney goes, can I tell Steve Cruiser? You never meet Steve Cruiser. He's not in IMDb. Did you see a Steve Cruiser?
I don't remember one. Maybe he's the previous year's Dave.
Oh.
Like the last person he helped.
Yeah, and Steve Cruiser's probably doing great. He's probably at Berkeley. He kind of figured out who he was, and now he's doing great. Probably working on engineering because Stoney helped him.
Yeah, Stoney just wants to call him up and say, hey, Steve, just want to check you're doing okay? I just found this really cool bowl with my mate Dave. He's the next you. You got any jobs going at your engineering company? Because Dave, he's pretty good with a swing set.
See, if Dave would have just played it cool, he'd get an engineering job with Steve Cruiser.
Yeah, there we go. See, it's maybe there's an entire firm of people that Stoney has helped. It's like Stony Engineering or something. But that's all he's doing. It's a recruitment scheme.
Wow. He's
finding the down on their luck, lonely but decent engineering students at their school. He mentors them, gets them up to being a good person, someone that other people are going to want to work with, whilst also building on their engineering skill. And then they go and join Stony Engineering. And he's got this multi-million dollar company based off of this like recruitment scheme he has.
Stony Engineering probably works a lot on bridges and cranes.
Yeah, definitely bridges, like stone bridges.
Yep, stony bridges. Yeah. And yeah. The way that they were able to crane that 1,000-pound ice cube out, I wonder when you take a walk and you see those big cranes in the cityscapes, I wonder if his company sort of designs those for optimization.
I can see that. So, but when they get the ice out, they use the pulley on the swing set, but then it's being driven by a little, it's like a ride-on lawnmower or something.
Yeah.
So maybe which isn't a general approach that they use in building construction, I think. So maybe he's got this whole new revolutionary technique of having it with a big pulley off of the crane, but also with a little car driving it. He's optimizing it in different ways.
He thinks outside the box.
He does. That's Stony.
Man, Steve Kooser is probably a good guy too. Do you think Steve Kooser was as annoying as Dave?
I don't think anybody's ever been as annoying as Dave. But I think this has been like Stony's real challenge year. Bear in mind, this is at the end of the year. So this is after 9-10 months of Stony working on Dave and getting him to this point. So imagine how bad he would have been at the start of the year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know,
this might be a 2-year project for Stone.
It might have been.
Come back next time.
You can see, you know, when he pulls up on his moped and he gets Sean Astin to do the little walk with him, like that probably took him a year and a half just to get Dave to do goofy stuff like that.
This is how you leave the house.
Yeah.
Just get one step at a time. Just get him to. He was just bedridden. Like.
Yeah, I love it. This is great. Oh man, and to just oh man. All right, so what else? Oh, I know we talked about their trip to the theme park, but I do love one of the most famous scene from this movie is in the gas the convenience store, where he's teaching Link about the four basic food groups. Did you not find that entertaining at all?
Did
you?
I did. They're all just like candy and crisps.
Yeah, dairy. milk duds. Fruit are the sweet tarts, and what vegetables were like
potato chips, I think.
Potato chips, crisps, right?
And then meat group was like a hot pocket or a burrito or something.
Meat group.
Yeah. And I was trying to filter it all through. These are all foods we don't have in the UK. So I'm trying to work out what these things are.
I mean, that was a good bit, though. Just teaching them about the food groups. And I think my favorite line, which shows comedic timing, when they're like 1 minute, 2 minute, when they talk about how long you should microwave. And he's like, this is hot on the outside, cold on the inside. Then the guy goes, 2 minutes.
2 minutes, yeah.
That's comedic timing right there.
Yeah. Any of the scenes that were Stony and Link, we're like half an hour into the show, haven't mentioned Link yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the inciting character. Any scene that was Stony and Link is great. I had no problem with those at all. Just it's anything that involved Dave was the problem.
Yeah,
but one of those guys in the supermarket is it's Eric Avari, who Brendan Fraser was co-star with in The Mummy.
Oh, I love that.
And he's also in Home Alone 4.
What?
So, bring it back to Home Alone.
I love that. Those two guys were funny in that gas station. I liked watching them. They really sold it.
Yeah, they were great.
All right, so I wrote some notes here, and just because I guess we'll have to get the link eventually, but I did, as I'm writing this, I'm just looking through my notes right now to kind of talk about. And I just have one note that says Sean Astin really is a turd in it. And then I wrote Sean Astin character is an a-hole, a little turd. I wish he wasn't in the movie. I like Sean Astin though. I do. I genuinely like him. But in this movie is, I don't know, his character, man. I just wrote this to myself in notes.
Yeah, I don't blame Sean Astin for this.
No.
It's because like he's been good in other things. I really like the Lord of the Rings films. He's really good in season 2 of 24, I want to say. And like Stranger Things, just a lot of things. He's really good in it.
Broody.
But just his character is just so, he's just detestable. has no good qualities. It just is useless from the start. Like, he wakes up just with a slushy falling on him, or an icy, or whatever it is. Just he's a slob. He is just has no friends for good reason, it seems. It's a perfectly fine family. His family are a bit detached, so maybe some of the blame is that he's got quite a really bratty sister, and his parents just don't seem to care about anything he does. Like, when they find Link, they go and try and tell his mum, and his mum's like, I'm busy, I'm on the phone, I don't care. You found a caveman, I don't care.
They try to do the right thing, too, and then they just ignore him.
Yeah.
And the sister's mean for no reason.
She's mean just because she's a child.
Yeah, because you know what, though? Because he's never directly mean to her, but she's probably tired of dealing with Dave. So she's, I hate this guy.
Yeah, would you be? Imagine if Dave was your brother.
Oh, gosh. You'd
deal with that every day.
Well, I'd have him building stuff for me.
Yeah.
And he can clean the house very quickly.
He's got a hammock in his room. He probably built that himself.
Yeah, I mean, he understands studs and walls and best placement for hammocks inside rooms, and that hammock probably stays.
Yeah, well, yeah, it does. When Matt breaks into the room, he has a fight with the hammock, and the hammock wins.
Yeah, I mean, how secure is this hammock?
It's far more secure than it should be.
Now, I have another question for you. When the bully sticks Dave to the wall, do you think Dave told him how to optimally do it?
You want to put a staple one above each shoulder, under the arm, and a couple down the sleeves. That'll really support my weight.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to do it right.
Don't do it on the crotch. It'll be very painful.
I think he guided him. I think he helped him, because that's an impressive feat with staples. Yeah. And I guarantee you that he walked him through it.
He had to. Like, well, you know, Matt, as we've established, Matt pays attention in school. So Matt could be an engineering genius as well.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing. He's done this before. This isn't his first stapling a kid to the wall. It's probably the first time Dave's been stapled to the wall.
You're right. He knows how to... He's just a smart guy who says shush, like, beautifully. Shush!
Shush!
And also...
I had to go back and watch that again. Just him saying shush.
Robin Tooney in this movie is just a walking hormone in this film.
Yeah, she is TTF with Link. She is just ready to go.
We just did a podcast about Batman Forever, and she's like Nicole Kidman is towards Batman.
But that's Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. not just some caveman.
She's ready to go with the picture they're shown in the science class. So,
yeah. Oh, I like the barbaric. And then Rose McGowan's in it too. That's her first movie.
Yeah. She's you know, blink and you miss her, but she's in there.
She's crushing on. Everyone's crushing on Link in this movie.
Well, I mean, he's next to Sean Astin.
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah.
I mean, he's.
It's just by comparison, really. Also, it's early 90s Brendan Fraser. You could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, though. Fraser pulled this role off with just... There was no wink of irony or... He made choices in this movie. And I think he did a good job with what he had.
Yeah, I think he did a great job. I mean, I feel like he should be a little insulted that he was cast as someone who looks like a caveman. I know that they have that line in it where they say, like, oh, Pro-Magnum Man, you'd sit next to you on the bus and you wouldn't notice anything. That's very much in the world of this film kind of line. Like in reality, you'd know. There'd be a distinguishing difference in the forehead, yeah. I think. But he just seems to roll with it and play the role, and he's fantastic. You know, this is part, like, the first film in a trilogy of Brendan Fraser learning how the modern world works.
Yeah,
I think. So you have this one, you have Blast from the Past, and you have George of the Jungle. I think he learns how to use a microwave in all three of those films.
Ooh.
And the French Toast Sunday podcast, which is a member of the LAMB podcasting network, they have worked out in the past. Brendan Fraser spends a lot of time underground in films.
Oh, so I
can't
take
the credit for that one. But yeah, this, Blast from the Past, the Mummy franchise, he's always underground for some reason. In every film he does, he spends a considerable period of time underground. More than any other actor, potentially.
And Here, how about I got some theories to drop on you, but I feel like we should save them for the second half. So let's take a break, and when we come back, I got a really weird theory to drop on you. How's this sound?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks, and I got a theory to drop on you, Jay.
Okay.
And so you haven't seen these movies, but in the Pauly Shore universe, in his two following films, Son-in-Law and In the Army Now, there are appearances from Link. Link is in both of those movies.
So is Pauly Shore playing the same character?
No. So So in Son-in-Law, he's a character who is, well, he could have changed his identity, I guess. Like, he started afresh. And so in Son-in-Law, he's this cool RA in a dorm, kind of looks after everybody. He's the cool college student, which makes more sense. And then in the Army Now, he joins the military reserve. And in Son-in-Law, Link is one of the college students. And in the Army Now, Link is in the military serving in Iraq. So this means that Link has a very short memory and has forgotten about Stoney, or that Stoney has twin brothers that don't know each other.
I was thinking clones, but fine.
Clones or twins. There are clones or twins of Pauly Shore.
It's a terrifying world, you pose. That's fine.
So what do you like? What would be more?
It can't be brothers unless it's kind of a separated at birth, three identical strangers kind of thing.
Because he never talks about it in Encino Man.
Exactly. Well, we've assumed that he has like a broken home that he just wants to stay out of. So maybe his brothers, the other two triplets, they ran away. They went their different directions, and one. Are they all set in California, these films?
I'd like this. I don't remember. I think so. Yeah, he's in California in Son-in-Law, and I'm not sure where they lived in the Army Now. But it could be. It could be California. So let's say all three of them take place in California.
Wherever they take place, like it's plausible that the brothers could have gone there. So yeah, I think the brothers route could be a goer. Then again, this film's kind of approach to science cloning is very easily an option. Maybe we've established Stoney is an engineering genius. Maybe he doesn't stop engineering. It's kind of bioengineering he can do. He can do cloning as well. He's cloned himself. This is a multiplicity scenario.
Well, if you think about this. Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You're on a good one.
Oh, just like I don't know the intelligence level of the other Pauly Shores in the other films, but do you reckon they're on the same kind of savant level as Stoney?
Well, you know what? In Son-in-Law, right? He is the RA of a dorm room, so he looks the resident advisor. And when he goes to this farm with Carla Gugino, he really takes to the farm work and figures out everything really quickly in his own style. Does that make so he knows how to do that. And in the Army Now, he becomes a water filtration expert. So he learns how to filter water, which is a science.
Yeah, so he has an aptitude for science and engineering and working things out in all of these things. So it's plausible that they're all clones of the same brain. So yeah, I'm going for a multiplicity scenario.
I think you're right.
Stoney develops cloning technology, clones himself, and just because he wants to help more people. He realizes he worked out that Dave is going to be a full-time job to fix. So he has to clone himself so that he can still help other people. The original Stoney has to stick with Dave and politically guide him through the rest of his life, because Dave is just Dave. You know, this is a full-time job. But he still wants to help. He wants to help the world. So he's got to clone himself.
Do you think when Dave gets out of his house and gets on his own, like away from his parents, and kind of realizes his own self at Stoney Engineering, do you think he'll improve?
I hope so. For Dave's sake and for Stoney's sake. And for Link's sake, because hopefully Link doesn't stick around Dave too much. I hope he does. I feel like he would do. Maybe once he gets away from his sister and, you know, his parents who don't care, once he realizes that he and Robin just aren't going to work out and he can get over his fixation with this crush he's had since he was a baby. Just, yeah, I think that's Dave's main problem, is he's just been focusing too much time on Robin.
Do you think...
And he needs to find something else to focus on.
Do you think he's going to get an acceptance letter from a college that he didn't apply to? Because Stoney is like his guardian. So it's going to be, hey, you can go to Georgia Tech, which is an engineering school, one of the best engineering schools in the United States. You have been accepted on a full ride. Do you think Stoney could pull that?
I think so. He'd have to... it might be... If it's based on an interview, then Dave might have a problem.
Oh, gosh.
Unless Stoney goes and pretends to be Dave to pass the interview.
Stoney might be a big donor to Georgia Tech.
Could possibly be, yeah. If he can afford to develop this cloning technology and he's got the whole Stoney engineering, then yeah, I'd imagine he is a big. But then, see, if he's got all this money in Georgia Tech, why is he recruiting people from like schools and building them up to be good engineers when he could just go to the engineering school and take them from there?
Well, you watch all these Halloween... there's all these Hallmark Christmas movies, and Santa and Mrs. Santa Claus, they're always somewhere where they don't really need to be helping somebody, just randomly. Okay. So maybe he's just like that. Maybe he's engineering Claus.
He's just that good of a person.
Yeah. Yeah. And also in Son-in-Law...
She called him Engineering Claus.
Yeah.
Sorry for stepping on that.
I'm proud of that one.
Yeah, it should be.
I'm patting myself on my back right now with an invention that Stoney built to actually make optimized patting on the back.
Yeah, it takes very little effort. Just the system of pulleys. You've got to be sat in the right place in your chair, but it's a very satisfying self-pat pack.
And I just before we move on, I want to say that he does help the family and son-in-law. And in the Army now, he helps David Alan Greer stop becoming... You know, such a wimp and neurotic, David Alan Greer becomes kind of a tough guy. So he does sort of guide people in those movies. And the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so the Stoney Cinematic Universe, the SCU, these three movies, he just guides people.
Yeah.
Wow. This is brilliant.
Yeah, I'm aboard. I like it. I like this film more now.
All right. So, I have something to back up your cloning idea.
Okay.
This caveman has been frozen in ice for hundreds of thousands, millions, I don't know, however long.
A really long time.
A very long time. They unthaw him in such a way that he doesn't fall through the sawhorses that are holding him up. And the way he doesn't dissipate in the ice. So I think the way that they put the heat on that ice cube allowed him to thaw optimally, like optimized the thawing. So he understands heat to caveman ratio in ice cubes.
That's some advanced thermodynamics.
Advanced thermodynamics.
I'm a little disappointed they didn't rig up a bath underneath him to catch that pure glacial water that was being melted. That would have been some good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
But that's wasted now. That's down the California drains.
And they lived in California. They could have sold that for a lot of money.
Yeah.
If they would have saved it, he could have cloned that water.
Yeah. Or at least like diluted it. It's like 10% pure caveman water.
No, I want to say for a caveman, he does pretty well adjusting.
Exceptionally well.
I do love the bit when he threatens the post office guy, the mailman, with a shovel, and the mailman puts the package on the shovel.
I think it's before that he's apprehended by a garbage truck to make it squeal like an elephant.
he starts whapping it.
Yeah. I had a lot of time for all of the Link exploring the modern world kind of stuff. That's fun.
I did like his relationship with the dog. They did. The dog's face gets pushed away a lot by Dave. Dave treats that dog poorly.
Yeah.
And Brendan Fraser pushes that dog away. But that dog is a pretty good actor.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mind sharing its food.
Yeah. That was. Do you know what that was? They said that was
Cookie Crisps.
Yep. Cookie Crisps. Hey, you do as much research as I do, man. That's awesome.
Just a little.
Cookie Crisps. He was eating with the dog, hanging out.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd eat it out of a bowl that a dog's eating out of, but I'd eat Cookie Crisp. That's nice. Especially if I was a caveman, that'd be great.
I mean, imagine eating Cookie Crisp for the first time.
I can remember.
Oh, what'd you think?
It's a good day. it was on holiday to America with my family. I was like 10. And I'm just getting cereal for breakfast right there. Like, there's cereal, there's cookies. There's a cookie cereal. Just, yeah, I was sold. I was done. And it lived up to the promise.
That's awesome.
But, yeah.
I was joking, but you just busted out a good story.
That was a good day. Yeah.
Now, where was I here? Let's see. I had a good thing. Did this movie help your Spanish at all?
It hasn't improved it. My Spanish is still just the one word. Hola. gracias, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the line that he said in Spanish. But if I watched it a few more times, I think it would improve it.
He said, "The cheese is old and moldy. Where's the bathroom?"
Yes. Like, I don't know how to say that in Spanish.
So. My brother was in high school, and he was in a Spanish class, and they had to film something for class with Spanish, and they used that line. So this movie's been part of my life for a long time. I remember he used that. I forgot how to say it. And then what do you think about the club that they go to? The nicest day drinking club in the history of the world.
Given that it's the middle of the afternoon, that place is packed.
Yeah. With very nice people who are down to do conga lines.
They were down to give underage children tequila. lots of tequila.
And then that guy gets slapped too. I love that bit where he's just complaining about his girlfriend. She just whaps him and he starts crying.
Yeah, well, he deserved it. He basically says that she wasn't worth fighting over.
Yeah, like, she's not worth it. Bam. Now, I think my favorite line in this movie is when they're pouring all these shots down Weasel's mouth, Stoney's mouth, and he goes, "Do I have to pay for them?" Like, that's a good, I thought that was a good bit when he asked if I have to pay for these. That made me laugh.
Yeah, but you feel like in whenever you see, whenever you see like kids going into a bar, especially if it's a bar that seems to be full of one race of customer, I always go back to Weird Science, just because I love Weird Science, and just thinking, did the kids have to pay for the drinks in Weird Science?
Wait, do they?
I don't know. I don't think they. I hope they didn't. Well, maybe Lisa could have just magicked up some money, but that's something I've never considered before. It's not common enough to be a trope, but it's not unusual to see films where like people go into a bar and get a lot of drinks, and you don't see them pay for it or anyone pay for it. So I'm glad that they dealt with that in this film. Finally. Yeah, finally. It's been so many years.
Because he consumed, let's say it's cheap tequila, well tequila. This is 92, so $4 shots. So he's doing about $16 worth of tequila. I mean, that's a good question for a broke high school student or undercover broke high school student.
I'd say he's probably more than that, just because like he is far gone at the end of the scene. He is a very drunk weasel.
And then I do like when Robin drives them home. That was like her best bit of a character. And she was at her best when she was driving all them home because Dave wasn't in it.
Yeah. And he used this one phone call to call her. Oh. See, this is proving that Robin's a terrible person. He uses his call from prison to ask her to the prom. And she says, "No, I want to go with your friend instead."
Yeah.
Bear in mind that her best friend, Robin Tunney, has already basically claimed dibs. She's already like peed on Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Like, she marked her territory. Like,
he's mine. Dibs on him.
So Robin's a bad friend.
Robin's terrible.
She does not respect Robin Tunney.
She does not.
And Robin Tunney is really, she likes him. She likes his ketchup and mustard art. She likes when Link does that. She puts up with him ditching her to go play a video game.
Yeah. She puts up with Link trying to grope her the first time he meets her.
Oh, yeah.
She's fixated on her gazongas.
Betty. I do like that bit when they're trying to do something to Brendan Fraser. He goes, "No, no." He learns the word no. Oh, that's a funny no.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser, one of the highlights of the film. Can't take anything away from him.
I feel bad for Robin Tunney now. Her best friend doesn't treat her well. She needs to have Weasel. Or no, Stoney hang out with her in college for a year.
Yeah, because at the end, she Robin Tunney hasn't got Link because you've got the Cave Nug. Cave Nug's been revived, so she's left out in the cold. Maybe she's gonna pick up Matt, but I think she can do better than him.
Wait.
So yeah, She needs to hang out with Stoney.
I just looked at my notes, and I want to see. So remember when Sean Astin goes, there's always, when Pauly Shore goes, there's always college, and he goes, junior college. Do you think he's joking? Because, you know, Stoney does say he's going to junior college. Or no, he is going to junior college, and Dave's going to go to Georgia Tech for engineering.
What's junior college? Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. So junior college is like a two-year college. So if you can't get into a four-year university, you go to a two-year college. You get you go 2 years and you get an associate's degree, or you can, and then you can transfer to a university to get your bachelor degree, four-year degree.
Okay. So are we assuming that Stoney's going to junior college and Dave's going on to university?
Yeah. And then Stoney's going to meet someone at junior college and tutor them there.
Or this is all a con. It's a ploy because he knows that Dave isn't going to go to junior college. This is how they part ways. And Stoney actually just goes back to school for another year and picks a new student to mentor.
So he's laying the breadcrumbs down saying, hey, I'm going to junior college, but you're going to university. So he's preparing him to separate.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
He knows, he's hoping that all his previous mentees have gone off and they've made new friends and they've forgotten all about him. And he's worked out the best way of doing that is he goes to junior college, air quotes, and the mentee goes off to proper college. No offense to junior college.
What about this? Weasel is so smart. Stoney is so smart. He knows geographical areas and earthquakes. He knows that. So when he meets Dave, he probably thinks there might be something in his backyard. So he puts it in Dave's ear to build a pool. They find the caveman, and this forces Dave to be in a situation where he has to grow up. Do you think he Kaiser Sose'd this whole thing?
It's possible. I feel like there would have been an easier way to make Dave grow up without relying on unearthing a caveman. Yeah, just like, I don't know, get a dog. Look after your dog, I suppose.
What about the scene where Dave wants to send Link away because Robin likes Link? So he gets so jealous that he takes an alive person away like an animal. Gives him quarters and sends him away. And then he pushes Stoney to the ground.
Yeah, they have a little fight. Yeah, just that is like Dave's lowest moment, I think, it's as a character. There's no coming back from that. You're just going to send away this person you found and who you've nurtured into being a part of society. You're just going to send away because they're more popular than you.
With some quarters.
Because your ridiculous plan to use a caveman to improve your popularity in school somehow didn't work. And he just became, it's a horrible thing.
They could have sold that bowl for millions of dollars.
Yeah. And Dave calls Stoney out for only liking Nugs chilling and grinding. But all Dave cares about is popularity. That's the only thing he wants. He just wants to be popular.
That's it.
And like, that's so much less than Nugs chilling and grinding. Grindage, sorry.
And he's not my responsibility. And then
he is.
And I love when Stoney goes, the guy gets crusty and you bag him. That's not how it works with friends.
Yeah, he's very good point. And Stoney is full of life wisdoms.
I will say, when Brendan Fraser comes back and like hugs Dave, just watch Brendan Fraser. He does a very good job acting in that scene. He looks sad when he's hugging Sean Astin. It pulled my heartstrings.
I'll have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, do it. And then, you know, when tears roll down your eyes, just thank me.
I'm watching it now, and yeah, you're right. He is. I've always liked Brendan Fraser. I even like Bedazzled, which isn't the best film, but I think he's very good in it. He has to do a lot of different things. He's an underrated actor, and I don't like that he kind of just fell off the radar for a little bit.
Yeah, I hate that. The Mummy, the guy in Georgia, he had a good run. I do love The Mummy. That's one of my
Period in the late 90s, early noughts, he was really good.
Yeah, and he said that he got blackmailed by the industry because of some events that happened. He had a really long interview. I don't know if you've read it.
Yes, I did read that. Yes, you're right.
Did you see him in Trust? Danny Boyle's
No,
Trust?
I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
The show, I don't know. The show's all right, but I just watched it for him, and he's really good.
Well, he's going to be in Doom Patrol.
What?
I think that's just a voice thing.
Oh.
Who's he playing in Doom Patrol? What the hell? Timothy Dalton's in this?
Wait, did you
Alan
watch
Tudyk?
Have you watched Airheads? Have you watched Airheads?
With... I love Airheads.
Okay, good. Would you? I'd podcast about that movie.
Hell yeah.
I think that should be our next one then.
Okay.
I really think so because I love that movie and I always get in trouble because sometimes my wife she'll be like, "Hey Mark, how you doing? You know, what are you thinking about?" And I'll just go swimming pools. And I say that to everybody and they hate it because they have no idea what it means because it's from Airheads. But I always say, what are you thinking about, swimming pools? And which goes back to Encino Man and Brendan Fraser.
It's so connected.
Oh, man, this is all in the same universe. The Lone Riders? That doesn't make sense.
You can't pluralize Lone Ranger.
Oh, the Lone Rangers. Yeah, that's... Steve Buscemi's in that movie, man.
He is, yeah. He's great in it. And like, it's one of the... It's one of my preferred Adam Sandler films.
Oh, so any other things you want to touch on in this movie that you can think about?
I think we covered most of them. Like when Stoney first started talking, I got like proper Tommy Wiseau vibes from him. Just got a real the room thing going. I don't know if Wiseau saw this and thought, yeah, I'm gonna do a weasel. I'm gonna be a weasel. People love the weasel. And he just went with that. I don't know.
So probably you're saying not. Tommy was so ripped off Stoney and the Weasel from Encino Man?
Absolutely. Can't be the first to have said that.
Oh, and there's another line from Matt that you're going to think is crazy. He goes, Robin wouldn't piss on your gums if your teeth were on fire.
How would your teeth be on fire?
That's the craziest.
Is he George Washington?
Someone wrote that line.
Oh, dear.
And when he says it,
and Dave says, yes, you would.
That guy says it so well, though, Matt. I mean, he delivers some really weird dialogue in this.
Oh, he's wonderful. Yeah. What's he doing these days? What's Michael DeLuise up to?
I don't know.
He's
I done, need to look into
he's
this.
He's done anything since 2013.
No good.
Yeah.
And, all right, so I don't know. I guess we'll just end with the quote from Stoney where he says, I'm not a geek. I'm a unique weasel.
It's very true. He absolutely is.
So now that you've podcasted about this movie, are you looking at it with a less cynical view?
I am. I don't intend to watch it again. I know for a fact my wife wouldn't let me watch it with her again. She was not a fan. I before we record today, I kind of said to her, I'm just going to go upstairs now and kind of go through my notes. She was like, what do you need to go through your notes for? Just say it's rubbish and move on.
A 3-minute podcast?
Yeah. What did you think of Encino Man? It's crap.
All right. Thank you for listening. You should tell her about our theories, though.
I will do. I'll try and convince her to listen. She won't. She's never listened to a podcast, but I will try and convince her to.
Well, at least pitch Stoney Engineering and how they got it out of there and how he's a guardian angel, like Rowan Atkinson from Love Actually.
That might get her on board, actually. It's one of her favorite films.
Oh, yeah. There we go. All right, well, hey, this was a lot of fun, man. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, anytime, Mark. I loved it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to one of my own podcasts in a long time. I might listen to this again and just pat myself on the back the entire time.
Using that pat on the back contraption.
Actually, while I'm editing this, I'm going to be letting that thing just constantly pat me on the back because I'll be listening to it.
You want to make it kind of pedal powered? You can still do the editing with the hands, or is it just... And you got to work out what you're doing it.
Yeah, because you know those new things underneath your desks where you can, they're like a mini bike, so you keep your legs going?
I used to have one, but I wouldn't. I got quite long legs and I kept on hitting the desk.
All right, so I could build one. I'll build one and just pat me on the back while I'm doing this.
We got to see photos and blueprints. You want to patent it?
Schematics.
Go on Shark Tank.
I'm pitching it to Stoney Engineering. Hey, do you have anything to promote before we head out?
Yeah, I'm the host of the Lambcast, the podcast of the Large Association of Movie Blogs, which can be found at largeassmovieblogs.com. Mark's a regular guest at this point. They'll be on in a couple of weeks for our sports draft. Oh, and we cover pretty much anything. Franchises, new films, old films, directors, pretty much any kind of topic we've got going. So yeah, search for Lambcast on iTunes or if you want to join the Lamb, be one of our members of the Lamb community, then come to largeassmovieblogs.com and, you know, join us, please.
And you need to listen to the sports one. So look for it when this comes out and I'm going to make some weird picks. I'm going to ruffle some feathers.
I'm looking forward to it. That's why we like to have you on the show, Mark.
That's awesome. All right, cool. Yeah. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Jay Kluwet, this is Movies from the Flicks. We'll see you next week.